singing about half a dozen times, you know. When
oh yes, a traditional singer will always repeat the thing and will never vary.
Uh-huh. So I mean, you asked them a couple of times, like, to sort of sing the song.
Oh, more than that, very often.
Yeah. Well,
for instance, when I recorded the singing Vacation,
yeah,
it more or less came by accident because I'd been over. It was when one of the Celtic Congresses were being held in the island, and
yeah.
I used to go over. They had a lot of meetings in Peel, and I was working in Ballasalla at that time,
yeah.
Fish and Abbey, and I used to go over on my bicycle to Peel and attend the meeting there. I was secretary at that time. And generally I went into Christopher Shimmons' house for supper and we had a good koosh, and then I set off with the bicycle to cycle back to Ballasalla, usually getting back somewhere in the early hours of the morning. And this particular night I was going up Foxtail, and there was a woman who had a little shop just below the old railway bridge. I think it's made into an ordinary house now, it's no longer a shop, but there was a couple of houses down just below the road with a little street in front of them. And Mrs. Shimmon, her name was, and I used to go in and out to talk to her quite a lot. And this particular night, just as I got somewhere up in the middle of Foxtail, came on a terrific thunderstorm. I hurried up and wondering whether Mrs. Shimmon would be up, and she was. She hadn't gone to bed, there was a light in, so I went in. Of course, I got a cup of tea and started talking, and then we were talking about the storms and the fishing and one thing and another. And she said, "Did you ever hear the song the Peel girls used to be singing for the boys when they were away at the fishing?" So I said, "No, I don't think I did. Sing it for me." And she did.
Yeah.
And I learnt it
from
her.
Her.
I tried to sing it with her. And she had a little harmonium.
Yeah.
In the parlour.
Yeah.
And when I thought I had the tune, I went in and tried to work it out on this.
Mm.
And I got it more or less on that. And then later on in the night it cleared, the thunderstorm was over, and I went on to Ballasalla and all the way back on the bicycle. I was singing this darn song in case I would forget it.
Well, I wonder whether, you know, if you could sort of give us if let us know how they did sing the song when you heard it, if you could perhaps sing a bit of it now, like, you know.
Well, I think she sang it more or less the way I sing it when I do sing it, which isn't often because my singing days are over. I haven't got any sort of a voice to sing it with
that
now.
That doesn't matter, I mean.
All right, here you are.
Yeah.
Gyd yn eitha mae'r rai yr ac un Hor o ri a ro Hor o ri a ro Jen an eris cywn as min Hor o ri a ro Shonas laudas as a re Chyrai fai as man as the Slend as she as eish the ve songs, Glen May. I got a lot from her, and I got several of them from Kelly Pat.
Who's that?
Kelly the Fisherman for Drown.
Yes.
He has a lot of songs.
Uh-huh.
Is he the one who had the
collection? Yes.
Yeah.
All the seahorses and things, and the stuffed gulls and so on.
He lived on the beach, did he?
No, he lived in a little house up beyond, up towards the hills,
mm.
on the road going up past Bildrian Station.
Oh, he didn't have a cottage down on the shore?
Not on shore,
no.
What sort of songs did he have, did you get from him?
I don't know, quite a lot. I've forgotten a lot of them. It's so long since I used to go to him, and he was a dancer too. He used to do the dances for me.
Mm.
And he was a good dancer himself, and he had his wife and a son that was in the fishing with him, and I think it was the wife's sister, woman about the age of the wife, that used to live there, and his granddaughter Betty. She was a girl about 12, I think, at that time. And he used to get Betty to bring one or two more children in and make up a set and dance in the kitchen.
Mm. Was it him you told me once had a whistle made out of the branch of an elder tree?
Yes, that was him. He could play on it too.
What sort of dances would you hear? Would you hear him play on?
Oh, a lot of them. He used to play Unisec Vona and Carnarangi. He's great on Carnarangi. And what was the other ones he used to do? Oh, he used to do the jig too. He did that by himself, of course. It was very good too.
That's the Fatherby jig?
No. The Cumann Sin Onra Chay. You couldn't do the Fatherby jig by yourself, Satan, that.
Where did you get the Invocation to Melanin from?
That was Kelly's song.
It was him as well,
mm.
And what about Colum Killia?
Oh, that was Mrs. Bradson.
Ah, yes.
Up in Glenmay.
Mm.
Yeah.
She used to live just on the Glenrushen Road.
Oh, just up from there.
Mm. I think the houses are still there, but I believe they've been modernised. You just go up the Glenrushen Road a little, and there's two houses below the road,
mm.
but facing across the glen.
Mm.
On the left, is it?
On the right of the road as you go up. You
oh,
know
yes,
where you go
yeah.
up the Glenrushen Road from Glenmay Corner?
Mm.
Well, the road goes up that way, you see, and these two houses are just with their backs to the road,
yeah.
facing across the glen.
Yeah.
And she lived in one of them, and her sister in the other one. That was Mrs. Bradson. Her son was at that time the blacksmith in Glenmay.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved music.
With this latter one, I don't think I've heard that one. How would you sing that one?
Which one?
The Colum Killia one. The other one you were talking about, yeah?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was the old lesson that they used to teach the children to say when they went to bed for Colum Killia, this
lovely
song,
song.
They asking the protection of Colum Killia. And they used to say it to keep the fairies away too. It goes, Shea, Shevan, she is Colum Killia. Eða hanja geða hlarus Örðak þúkur þjáhri hals Að kjekka neljum þæ Öra volta mishma læ Að sí That's all of it too, it's only the one verse.
Is it?
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Tell you what.
I don't think I could sing very well now.
Yes, you could, it's not long since I heard you do it last time.
I was around here you got this tune, like it.
Hmm?
I say, was it in this area?
Yes, down at Canary, that's Mrs. Carlo Calveg.
Mrs.
Carlo Calveg.
Calveg. A Calveg. And she had it.
She had it.
What? Buried down?
Buried down.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And how would she, when you heard, like, how would she...
Those thy buried down, cred a shrew, malach fellw yn syr glas, dar a gyfrw. Hem yn trwy'n gwrs y gw, drog a fwyn, as the ach yn jig, buried down, pari yr ani.
That's how she do it?
It's a lively one, you know.
Or so it?
No, I was never in a crowd that was singing like that.
Yeah.
It was always, I was always going about on my own and going
to see these
people, and they would sing. The only things I used to get in company like that were the dances, and then Kelly or the different people that I went to used to try and get two or three to come together to show me how
well,
the figures went, you see.
Yeah.
But in the case of the songs, well, it wasn't like that.
Uh-huh.
You just had to, the people that were singing them.
Will you tell us a bit about how you used to think Ilion Dhone was sung?
Oh yes, but I can't do that by myself.
Well, you can't do it by yourself, but you can tell us how.
Did
you ever hear it done like that?
Oh yes, I have. I've heard that. That was one of the things that they did very often do at the Ilveries.
Yes, what was this?
Ilion
Dhone.
You see, they used to have these Ilveries very often in the country chapels.
Mm.
They died out in the parish churches a long time before my time, I think, and they were kept going to some extent in the chapels, but they weren't there done on Christmas Eve. They were any time sort of round about Christmas. The Cardle Chapel used to have one, and the Balearic Chapel used to have one. And people used to come from all over the place. You remember those, Bernard, don't you? And they would sing very often. The songs were in English, all sorts of songs, some of them sacred, some of them not. And they would have some in Manx.
Yes.
And the great one that used to sing, he used to sing at the, not at the Cardle Chapel, but at the Ballygarry, because the Cardle was Wesleyan and the Ballygarry was primitive, and Clicky Even was really a primitive, so he always used to go to the Ballygarry Ilveri.
Yes.
And he would sing the Ilion Dhone in
would
Manx.
He? Would he?
Oh yes,
uh-huh.
He could sing in Manx all right. And they would join in with the
I see, yes. And so how would he as he was singing,
that was the accompaniment to it.
Yes.
He never had any other accompaniment. Some of them, of course, they used the chapel organ and a little harmonium or something and had accompaniment to songs.
The men and women used to do the outry, did they?
No,
or just
generally
the women. And they used to clap as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just the two notes right through the song.
And would they start this after he'd started, like? They'd join in afterwards?
Yes.
Yeah.
It always seemed to harmonise. They seemed to strike the right note. He would start the tune, you see, and when they started the outcry, it was it would harmonise in with the tune. Fyennach i chrysian swyslan y ffwr yn sefyn miled nans cynnefwr sa'n prwff ar gas i ylus thyrmod yn yrbi as the vision on the vision in green.
That was how we used to do it.
And they'd all slow down at the end of each verse.
They'd follow the singer, whatever he was doing, you see.
Would he ever sing this thing right through, or would he just do bits of it?
Yes, he used to sing an awful lot of verses. I can't remember them all.
Yes. Especially how long big songs.
And of course they never minded singing a lot of verses in those days. They used to have a saying, a lot of the carvels had an awful lot of verses, you know, and the Cardle Choir used to sing the carvels sometimes, the Cardle Chapel Choir.
Yes.
And somebody said one day, well, such and such a carvel they were going to sing for Christmas, well, they've got an awful lot of verses. Mm. Oh, well, the Cardle Choir would sing them all if it had 100 verses.
Didn't you have some descants, or whatever you'd call them, for other carvels as well? Not descants, but...
No, I don't think so.
Drones. Harmony notes underneath. You know that tune that goes dee 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 dee. Didn't you sang one to me for that?
Yeah.
I'm sure you did a couple of years ago.
That one.
That's it, yeah. There's a tour of the Isle of Man, a book of a tour of the Isle of Man.
Mm.
I can't remember which one it is now, but it was one of the earlier ones about the end of the
18th
century
or
the beginning of the 19th year. And he mentions the fact that he'd heard the Ennim Dóin ballad sung frequently in the island.
Mm. It used to be a great favourite, of course.
Oh, yes. And he says that it was sung to the tune The Black Joke. Now, in Moore's melodies, we have this tune called The Black Joke, and the first two or three bars of it are virtually identical.
This is the Irish book of Moore.
Yeah. To the to that tune. And I think that he heard it sung, and he was familiar with the first line, heard the first line of it, and equated it with this.
He probably knew the Irish tune
so
and
yeah.
heard the Manx one and
thought
that
was the same.
It was the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first few bars are very, very similar.
Mm.
Yeah. And the tune in Clegg is a minor version of this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I mean, this.
Not that, but
yeah.
The other one.
This is a sort of independent.
Yeah.
Testimony to the fact
yes.
that was the tune that was used, I think.
Yeah, the first line is exactly the same. First bars are, aren't they?
Mm. So, I must
well, who was
sometimes
it?
Strive to find the reference for
Cyril
you,
Payton, I
yeah.
think, claimed to have found Mála Coráin used in Scotland.
You can't be surprised at this because, I mean, your own story of how Ossuaig Roy went to Scotland and
yes.
came back again.
Well, Kelly Ballacrink down here across the field, there was a little stream going down from the Garries beside the farm, and he always used to tell me when I was a little girl that was where the fairies used to wash their babies in the stream, and this was the song they sang to them.
Was it? How would you sing it?
I can't remember the words now, and if I don't remember the words, I can't remember the tune. How do they go now?
The blackbird. Imitating the blackbird's call.
Well, in the roar?
Yeah. Can you remember that?
Well, it's part of your story, it's not just a song.
Well, go on then.
Well. There was a miller in Valour one time, and he wasn't always quite honest. And they were bringing them the corn in, and they were paying, at that time, they were paying the miller not in cash for doing the milling of the corn, but in kind, and his portion that he took out for himself to keep in payment was called the fulliu. And he had a boy, an apprentice with him in the mill, and one day the bullyvelt corn came in from Mackle, and he set it going on the mill, and he wanted to go to the Ramsey Mart. So he left the boy to see it through. He started it for him, and he left the boy to see it through. And before he went to the mart, he said, "Now, before I get back, all the Bullyveld corn will be through. And don't forget thou to take the full out." "Oh, yes, master," the boy says, "I'll take the full out." So the miller went off, and he spent the day at the mart, and he went into one or two of the pubs and had a little drink with his friends. And it was well on in the evening when he got back to the mill, and the boy had gone home. And he looked round on the sacks, and there was one sack set to one side, but he didn't take no notice of that. And he said, "Now, that boy, I told him to take the full out, but I don't believe he took it at all. I'll take the full out myself." So he took the full out himself, but the boy had taken it out right enough, and he put the full that he'd taken out beside the full that the boy had taken out, and he thought no person would know.
Uh-huh.
But the blackbird was sitting on the branch outside the mill,
yeah,
and he'd seen the boy taking the folio out,
yeah,
and he'd seen the miller taking the second lot of folio out. So he started to sing, and he sang Good Manx, and he said, "William Drugsport, William Drugsport, the guy for the cute, the guy for the cute. The me ginch will have out, the me ginch will have out. Mullin the Roxburg, Mullin the Roxburg, the gully for the kirt, the gully for the kirt."
Uh-huh.
Started collecting consciously when I was about 10.
10?
So Sophia Morrison came round quite a lot when I was a little girl, and she started me just before my 10th birthday. She came in and brought me a little notebook and told me to start putting things down. And it was she that first taught me to write notation, really.
Was
she
it?
Gave
uh-huh.
me a little musical book
mm-hmm.
as well and taught me how to use it. But I could never do it straight from the sound. She could. She could put it straight down from the sound, but I couldn't.
You haven't still got that book?
No, it's one of the things that was burnt in the Cecil Sharp House Holocaust when they were bombed. And my notes of the dances, not my notes, but my grandfather's notes, great-grandfather's notes of the dances. The ones that started me off collecting, really.
When was that?
In the war. I'd lent them to a Cecil Sharp House, and they were in the library there, and of course the whole thing was bombed, and the original sword of Jack Kermode was there too. It was never recovered. I thought they might have got that out of the rubble, but they didn't.
Mm.
What are you laughing at?
His hair.
Oh! What
can
about
you hear
them?
That song at all?
Hmm?
Can you give us a verse of that?
Did you ever hear
that
song?
You can get plenty of people to sing Molly Corrine.
Yeah, but I mean, did you ever hear anybody sing it?
Yes, dozens of people.
Did you?
It used to be one of the great favourites, that. Mm. Everybody knew Molly Corrine and Kiri Fignacca.
Oh, which tune did they use to Molly Corrine?
Molly Corrine. Oh,
but
the minor one, not
mm.
the major. The major, as far as I know, was only
mm.
used for dancing.
Dancing, yes. Yeah.
Mm.
And it was always played by a fiddle, of course, for the dance. Because the fiddler had to help with the dance.
Mm.
Jacked in it, yeah.
Mm. Funny, I don't think they ever used a concertina here for the folk dances.
No.
They seem to have used it quite a lot in England and even in Ireland, but they don't use it, they've never used it here very much.
But
have you ever known people use a concertina traditionally?
Well, I don't know what she played on, but my mother's sister used to play a concertina.
Did she?
There was, when I was a little kid, there was one of the old sort of octagonal concertinas in the house that my mother's sister played. What sort of music she played on, I don't know.
I've never known them used here, not in the country anyway.
What other instruments did you hear about?
Well, they used to make wooden pipes, little wooden pipes that they used sometimes.
From the tree?
A sort of recorder?
Yes, I suppose you would call them that. Pipes, they used to call them.
Ah, but they would sound like a recorder, but they had the same pitch, would they? Or would it be a deeper pitch or what?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I know they played tin whistles too, though.
Yes, some of them played tin whistles,
but
I think the country people mostly use the wooden ones.
Yeah.
But you never heard tell of any, you know, people who used to play any other types of instruments?
Well, there's that.
Well, I have, but I've never been able to find them. I have been told by quite a few people that there used to be a woman living up on the slopes of Frenass, up above Glen Helen there, that played the harp. But whether it was a sort of something she'd learnt or a traditional thing, I don't know, but she doesn't sound to me the sort of person that would have lessons on the harp and play it. The only thing I can think of is that, you know, there used to be a little sort of orchestra on the ferry boats going across to Douglas Head, and in that they had a harp.
Well, that was Tony Ventrell's father.
Was it?
Mm.
And this woman might possibly have learned to play the harp from the people that played it in that.
Oh, she was alive when you heard about her, was she? Or was it somebody dead? Before
I think
you
she
were...
was alive. I never found her, never met her, but
no.
I think, well, she must have been alive at that time too, because I know Walter Quirk used to say he'd heard of her too.
Hmm.
Leslie's brother that died.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever hear tell of a lady up in this is in my lifetime, a lady up in Mackle who played the auto harp?
Mackle? No.
Just when you come down from what do you call that place that used to be a hotel and isn't anymore on the road there, no.
Oh, Hibernia?
On the Hibernia, yeah. Just more or less on the Hibernia corner, if you're sort of going in the Ramsey direction and turn right, there was a lady down there who had an auto harp. I met her once, I saw her, but I don't know what she used to play on it at all.
Not other than the fiddle, of course.
Well, what about your man who...
No pipes.
Who played the... called it the fiddle, but it was really a cello.
Oh,
Tom Taggart,
of course, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, anything in the shape of a fiddle they called a fiddle. Whether it was a cello or a viola or...
Well, that was a double bass, wasn't it?
No, it was a cello.
Was it?
What else about Tom Taggart?
Oh, well, everybody knows Tom Taggart. He used to live in the little schoolhouse up at Grenaby. It was a sort of mission church for Maloo. And one end of it they used to have as a little church, hold services in it, and at the other end there were, I think it was only two rooms Tom had, because there was the big kitchen and there was a bedroom above. There might have been a second bedroom, a small one, boarded off, because his niece used to live with him and look after him, keep house for him. And Tom lived in this end part of the schoolhouse. And he got it rent-free for looking after the church part of it, you see, keeping it clean. He was like a caretaker, resident caretaker. That was when I knew him, but before that he'd been crofter, I think, or a small farmer somewhere in Maloo, and I don't know what farm he had, but he was by trade a tailor. And he used to make suits when I knew him in this little schoolhouse place. And he was also very well known. He used to go round on all the farms. He was a great man with animals, he could, he was as good as a vet, they used to say. If anything went wrong with any of the animals, they used to send for Tom. And he was also pretty good to cure people with herbs and that kind of thing. And he could read and write, and if anybody wanted a bit of writing doing, they sent for Tom. He was a sort of general amanuensis all around the neighbourhood.
Haven't you got a suit in Manx, Loughton Wool?
Well, he very often played hymn tunes because he was, there were no organ in the Kerrikeel Chapel at that time, and Tom used to play for all the services. He used to take the fiddle up and play in the chapel on Sundays. And he very often, if you went to see him, you couldn't get him to play anything but hymns for a long time. And then suddenly he would go off and he said, "Oh, well, she's not a bad old fiddle after all, but she likes a nice lively tune now and again." And then he would play something else, like a dance or something of that sort. And some of the children would come and dance in the road. One of the last times I saw him, we'd revived the old Elanus service up on top of South Barul, and we got Tom to come up. We had the service up there, and that's the first Sunday in August, you know. And Tom struggled up to the top of South Barul with the fiddle, sat down on a rock, and it was a windy day, and I can see him yet. He had this long white whisker, and he put his Sunday best coat on, which had long tails, and he sat on a stone up there, and the coat tails were flying on each side of him, and the beard was blowing in the wind too, but he played all right. The man named Moore made a lot of them.
Where was he?
Douglas. I believe they've got some of his in the museum.
Have they?
I'm sure they have.
It was a common instrument in the Isle of Man, dancing.
Oh yes, yeah. It was the usual one.
Were there any pipes, were there?
Only the little ones that they used to make themselves.
Yeah.
I've never heard of bagpipes here, if that's what you mean.
No.
Well, there was Mr. Thingy in the gasworks.
Oh well, yes, but that's...
His, I was very amused once when he was giving a talk about it. And he said, of course, the Scottish war pipes, he said, are far too loud to play indoors. He said, these are what they call a chamber set. And the voice from the back shouts, "Aye, and they sound like a tune."
Oh, dear.
What was that gent's name? I've forgotten now.
Bissett.
Bissett.